Witness 5, Telling Raphael. You pulled me by the cloak. Would you speak with me?
Casca, Act 1, Scene 2.
In my family, everybody likes to tell stories about my mother's father, Raphael Malveaux. Buku stories, lots of stories about my grandfather that made you understand why a great many people didn't like being around him for too long. I guess it was bad enough that Papa Raphael was so tall. Mama said he was 6'8". He was also strong-looking, wiry, with stringy black hair down to the bottom of his neck. Papa had copper-brown eyes that people said didn't seem to see you, even if he was looking right at you. I think those looks scared people, but what really scared them was his quiet. Never said much, not even to those who came for his touch. That quiet made people wonder what he was doing, and whether he was putting his voodoo, turning a spell, a gri-gri, on them. Mama said that he tried never to use his gift to do harm. She always called it a gift. Papa married his wife, Mama Edna, when she was 14. They had 15 children, 12 that made it to be grown-ups. Papa Raphael supported them all as a tenant farmer, at least at first. Things changed after the visit, when he got his gift. Mama said it was one evening when they still lived out near the levee at Cot Springs, right off Bayou Teche. A little old lady came walking down the levee in rain, Mama said. Everybody in the house could hear that lady's footsteps squishing away down the levee. But it didn't make any sense that they could hear her when she was still a long ways off. I guess that's why all of the older children remember Mama Edna going to the door to see who was coming and didn't see nobody, 'cause the whole thing didn't make sense. Much later on that evening, those footsteps finally stopped at their door, and Mama Edna answered when the knock came. There stood a little woman, dark of skin, hunched. She asked for food and water. Being the kind of woman that she was, Mama Edna offered to share some of the food that was left from dinner. The little old lady ate at the table and was grateful. Without ever giving her name, she asked if she could stay for the night. Papa Raphael told her he wished he could let her stay in the house, but with 12 children, there was no room. He did offer her a spot in the barn that he would clean up and make warm for her. The little old lady was pleased. Before she went out into the barn, that little old lady asked to speak with Papa in private. Later, Papa said that little old lady held his hand and started mumbling some words he didn't understand, and that he felt warm all over, especially in his hands. Papa thought he was tired. When the little old lady was finished mumbling, Papa said that she told him she was leaving a gift with him, that he should take good care of it by using it wisely. His gift, she said, was that he would be able to treat and heal people with his hands, with his touch. She told him to wait till morning and he would understand better. Papa told my mother that he had thought that little old lady was just crazy, harmless crazy, but still crazy. Everybody went to bed. Sometime during the night, Mama Edna said she heard those footsteps again, going away from the house and sounding a long way off. Next morning, Papa got up before daybreak to get working. He went into the barn and saw that the little old lady was gone. It didn't look like she had slept there. He noticed, too, a chicken that looked sick and went over and picked it up to check it. That's when his hands got really warm and glowed just a little, he said. The chicken got better while Papa Raphael held it. From that point on, he understood he was a healer. Mama said word started to spread about Mr. Raphael, and so Mr. Raphael treated people for all kinds of things. Now Papa Raphael wanted to see us, Iron Horse, Earl, Ghost, Dolores, Kool-Aid, and me. Everybody except Dolores lived in town. That's why we decided to go over right after school. That way she could ride with her daddy, who got dropped off from the sugarcane fields around 7. Our real problem was Ghost. He said he wasn't going. All of us were outside near Sister Joanne's office. When you come into the school at the main entrance, the principal's office is to your left. Right past that office is the school trophy case, and then a long hallway going to the left and right. If you go left, you're headed toward the cafeteria, and on the other side is the elementary school. If you go right, you're immediately in the high school, first classroom on your right for seniors. All the way down is the band room. If when you come in, you go straight past the principal's office, not turning left or right, you go through another set of doors and you're outside. There you would find an oval-shaped concrete area. Straight ahead of this area is a built-up, waist-high, curved bricked-in garden. At the center of this little garden is a 3-foot statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's where we were, sitting on the low brick wall. Iron Horse was kind of in the center of the group, and me and Dolores on his left, and Earl, Ghost, and Kool-Aid on his right. Ghost kept saying he was a man and nobody was going to tell him he had to go see some old fool who messed around in voodoo. Before I could take a swing at him, Iron Horse pulled me back. Look here, Ghost. Don't talk about Mr. Raphael. He helped a lot of folks around here, even my mama once. I don't care, Iron Horse. Why you want to see me anyhow? What's going on, Robert? Iron Horse still wouldn't let me by and wouldn't let me talk either. Robert don't know either. All he knows is that Mr. Raphael called Miss Ella and said he wanted to see all of us. Well, that's not enough for me, Iron Horse. I'm not like you bums. I got better things to do with my time. Who you calling a bum? Was Iron Horse's question. When Iron Horse let me go, I knew that Ghost was about to get hurt. I started pulling Iron Horse back and felt ridiculous as Iron Horse started walking toward Ghost, dragging me along as if he didn't know I was there. It took Dolores to stop him. She just stepped in front of him and took his hand. Looking up at the giant that he was to her, Dolores said, "Jimmy, Jimmy, don't." It was like a spell was broken when he looked down at her hand holding his. Or was it a spell being set? Whichever, looking only at Dolores, Iron Horse stopped, sat back down, and Ghost's eyes returned to normal size. With none of the fear she used to have of him, Dolores stood in front of Iron Horse and held his hand for a little while longer. Then she went back to her spot on the wall, sat down, carefully pulling her skirt of her blue and white uniform down over her touching knees. Then, ever so gentle, Dolores said, "Ghost, you need to be with us. This is important. Something seems to be going on. Don't forget the Blessed Mother's appearance. And I know something's been happening to me. I feel like I want to tell y'all, but I feel like I should tell you in front of Monsieur Raphael. My mama says he knows about dreams. I need to tell him about the dream I've been having." For just a second or two, when Dolores said dreams, I thought we all stopped breathing. Ghost's face seemed to change. He looked puzzled when he said to us, "I guess I'll see y'all over there later on." Some strange things did seem to be going on. Since we were all heading in the direction of my house, I talked Daddy into letting me, Dolores, Kool-Aid, Iron Horse, and Earl ride his bus. Because Dolores asked, Daddy dropped us off about 2 blocks from Papa Raphael's house, and the house where people said the Blessed Virgin Mary had appeared 3 days ago. Some strange things did seem to be going on. We got there before most people got off work, so the line into the house wasn't so long, not yet. Mama said that when she had come yesterday, there were cars everywhere, a line around the block and policemen directing traffic in the street. Everybody was coming to see the Blessed Mother. They said she had appeared in a curtain. Actually, it was at the very bottom of a long blue curtain. I don't even know how people started to find out that Miss Mathilde had noticed the face of the Blessed Mother at the bottom of that curtain. I guess it didn't matter because now everybody was trying to get in to see if it was true. Even some of the nuns and priests had come by the house. When I looked at it, I wasn't sure I saw anything. That spot where we were supposed to look was really just some folds in the curtain. That's all I saw. All of a sudden, Earl looked like he was having some sort of seizure, holding his hands over his ears, rocking side to side and moaning, "Okay, okay, okay." "Hold hands," Earl said. "Be cool," Kool-Aid said. "We have to hold hands. We have to hold hands so that, look, just hold hands, okay?" Mostly to please Earl and maybe to stop him from having another seizure or whatever it was, the five of us joined hands. Me, Earl, Iron Horse, Dolores, and Kool-Aid. In that moment, like a flash of lightning, there she was, looking at me from the curtain, the Blessed Virgin Mary. I looked around and seeing everybody's faces, I was sure that all of us were seeing the same thing. Almost at the same time, we let go of each other's hands and all turned and left. Outside, no one said anything at first. Then Dolores spoke up. "I couldn't see her at first. Not until we held hands. I thought she was embarrassed, so I spoke up. That's what happened to me, too. I couldn't see her at first. Then we held hands and pow! It was like an explosion in my eyes. There she was. She spoke to me," Earl said. We all stopped walking. Finally, Dolores asked, "What did she say to you, Earl?" "She was trying to talk to all of us, but I guess I was the only one who heard her. She told me that we had to hold hands, and then she said, 'My little ones, there's a storm coming. Trust in each other when it gets here. Together you have a job to do. Hold hands.'" We were quiet. "Are you sure, Earl?" Kool-Aid asked. "I'm sure," Earl said. "What's going on, man? What's going on?" Kool-Aid was almost screaming. "Calm down, Kool-Aid, calm down. We gotta stay calm with this thing, whatever it is. Maybe Mr. Raphael can help us understand. I hope so, anyway." That was Dolores talking, trying to keep all of us calm, really. But we all could hear a shaking in her voice, too. About that time, we all noticed where we were. Iron Horse brought it up. "Robert," he said, pointing to his left. "Ain't that the house where your uncle killed that man over mustard greens?" Some strange things did seem to be going on. No one really knew the whole story. Talk from some of his neighbors and some of the men Joe had been with that day said that this is what happened. Uncle Joe had been out and about drinking with some of his buddies. That was his main problem, drinking. "If it weren't for that," Mama said, "Uncle Joe could have done well in the world. He was a smart man. He was a strong man. He was a handsome man. Uncle Joe was a man who looked like an athlete, and with his black hair, dark skin, thick, speckled mustache, he was a man that people, especially women, watched as he walked by." All that hadn't amounted to much, I heard Mama and Daddy say. Because when he drank, he made some bad decisions. He drank just enough to make himself an unreliable worker and a weak and harmless man. That's why no one could explain what had happened 3 days ago. Uncle Joe had been out drinking. He and a couple of his friends were headed home, and Joe's house came up first. Joe stopped at his house and waved his friends on. One friend came back. He had noticed that Joe had a mustard green patch on the side of his little house. When that man came back, he asked Joe for some greens. Neighbors heard this. "Hey, Joe, leave me have some of them nice mustards you got there." "No, I need all my mustards." "Well, come on, Joe, leave me have a little bit anyhow. You get from around my mustards, you." "Oh, you're not going to do nothing, Joe. I'm going to take me some." Here there was a pause, the neighbor said. Uncle Joe had gone into his house. When he came out, he came with a double-barrel shotgun. "You get from round my mustard, you." "What you gonna do with that, Joe gun?" "You ain't gonna shoot nobody. Put my greens down. I'm taking me these here greens." The shotgun blast shook the windows of the houses nearby. Neighbors of Joe say that after shooting, Joe put the shotgun down next to his rocking chair on his porch. He sat down and rocked. When the police came, he got up and went with them, quietly. Musta Green murder, the local newspaper called it. Some strange things did seem to be going on. Yeah, that's where it happened, was my answer to Iron Horse. Today, the signs scare me, Dolores said. They say a gator gave birth down the street here in Opelousas. They say there's a war happening on the clouds between two armies of fiery soldiers and that their blood is dripping down the parish courthouse. They say you can hear the battle in the air, horses crying out, dying men groaning loudly. They even say that there are ghosts screaming and yelling down the streets. Come on, Caesar. These are strange things. And I am afraid. No one said anything, but I think we all felt it right that Dolores had recited that part of her speech as Calpurnia. Hey, man, said a voice from nowhere. We all jumped. Somehow, without us knowing it, ghosts had come up on us just as we reached the gate at Papa Rafael's house. We all turned in different directions to speak to ghosts. Hearing a door close, we turned back to the house where Papa Rafael was suddenly, standing on his porch, looking down on us like some giant angel. Sitting at Papa Rafael's long dinner table, Iron Horse went first. It's a memory, Mr. Rafael. It comes to me like the memory of my daddy comes to me, or like the way the memory of our 8th grade graduation can come into my head. I'm sitting around doing nothing. I'm daydreaming, thinking about stuff, you know. Then, I remember President Johnson signed a Civil Rights Act in 1964. Last year. No, not the Wall Destruction Act, but a Civil Rights Act. And I remember that some big-time colored folks was at that signing, even Martin Luther King Jr. President Johnson signed and colored people had some new rights. It scares me because nobody else remembers this stuff. Papa Rafael didn't say anything, but just kept looking at Iron Horse. That's when Iron Horse said, a picture of Robert pops into my head, too. Robert looks like he's been in a storm. He's wet, and his clothes are torn up and half on. He's limping, and it looks like he's trying to tell me something. Then the memory stops, and that picture of Robert goes away. Who else sees Robert in their dreams? Papa Rafael asked. Slowly, everybody nodded. You're all being visited by Kushma. That's just a story, I blurted. Now everyone in the room went from quiet to still. Who was I talking to like that, I thought. Papa Rafael was more than a believer. I shut my mouth. I stopped talking. Papa Rafael raised himself to his full height. Robert, he said, you children have all heard about Kushma. You know that spirit comes in the night in your sleep. When it comes, you feel it in your dreams. It holds you down, Shaq. It's there. You call out for help, but you can't move because that evil spirit holds you down. Lately, for one of two or two of you at this table, you've been waking up and feeling it in the room. And then Kushma whispers something to you. For true, my children, Kushma has been sent to you. Kushma been riding you. I know this. That's why I called you here. Without being asked, Kool-Aid started talking. I keep seeing a giant alligator. It really is a giant alligator. It's tall as you, Mr. Raphael, and that's the strange part. It stands up, and its eyes glow. They glow red, and it's laughing. Standing in all that rain, and it's laughing. Kool-Aid was standing up talking, sweating, and he was forgetting to control his left leg, so he was shaky when he moved. He didn't look cool at all. Papa Rafael touched Kool-Aid, and he stopped shaking, and he sat down. Monsieur Rafael, I see Robert like he's been in a storm, but like Jimmy and Horace, I have a memory, too. That was Dolores speaking. Tell us about this memory, Sha. I remember when the walls first appeared, she said. I laughed. Oh, come on, Dolores, I said. That's not possible. The walls have been up since after the Civil War. Let my little one talk, Robert, Papa Raphael said.
I don't remember any walls, Dolores said. Not before the night Curtis Mayfield was killed. Not until that night. Not until that night did I know of any walls. First in my dreams that night. Then the next day when everybody seemed to be taking the walls for granted, like they had always been there, I felt lost. I felt a little crazy until the day Iron Horse came back to Holy Ghost and whispered to me, those walls wasn't there before.
You know, Earl broke in, the night Curtis Mayfield died, I noticed something too. When I was watching Ed Sullivan, I thought something was wrong with my aunt's TV. When I looked at Curtis Mayfield, he seemed to be fading away, like a fog was settling over him. I tried to fix the TV, and my aunt asked me what I was doing. I told her what I saw, and she said, sit down, boy. Leave that TV alone. I don't see no such a thing. I saw the fog. I saw Curtis Mayfield fading away, and that's when somebody shot him. When Earl finished talking, he stared at the wall. Ghost had sat down and put his head down on the table. Papa Raphael walked over and stood behind Ghost and put his hand on his shoulders. Ghost didn't move for a while. Then he lifted his head and we all saw his tears. Papa Raphael held on.
That's the night it started for me too, Ghost said. Dreaming about Robert all wet, torn up, woke me up. Then
Ghost's voice. He stopped for a little while. We waited. Then I thought I saw somebody in my room. I tried to turn on the lights, but nothing happened. Then out of a really dark spot in the room, it said, you not man enough. You not man enough to face the wind. You not man enough to go into the storm. It laughed and was gone. The lights came on then. I didn't sleep at all for 2 nights in a row. But I know I'm man enough. I'm man enough. Ghost's shaky voice trailed off as he put his head back down on the table. Everybody had told Papa a strange story. Cauchemar, Papa Raphael whispered. Then he turned to me and said, Robert, tell them what's been happening to you.
Huh?
Tell them, Papa said gently, but
tell them!
Now it was a command, so I just started talking. I have this dream where we're standing in the middle of a storm. It's a hurricane. I think we're in the eye. All of us are there standing in a line facing the other side of the storm's eye wall. Rain and wind are spinning all around us. In front of us, but on the other side, inside the storm, there are seven people things. That's who we're facing, and we've come to fight them, I guess. Those seven people things stand there and wait, and I have something to do. But I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Somehow I know that no matter what, being there means I'm going to lose all of you as friends. That's the way it feels, and I don't understand it at all. Everybody was looking at me. Ghost had lifted his head as I talked. Kool-Aid was back to himself, and so was Earl. Dolores and Iron Horse sat next to each other and might have been leaning on each other. Everybody was looking at me.
What about the rain? Papa Raphael asked me.
What rain, Papa?
Close your eyes and listen, Robert. Tell them what you hear, Papa instructed.
I closed my eyes and waited.
Then I heard it. It's starting to rain, Papa. Oh, listen. Now it's really raining. Listen to that wind. God, what a storm, Papa. How did you know it was coming?
Papa said, open your eyes, Robert. I did, and everybody, except Papa Raphael, was looking at me like I was crazy.
What?
I asked. Then I turned to look at the open front door. I looked out, and the evening was clear and dry, and there was no wind.
But there was a storm.
Papa put up his big hand to quiet me. Then he said, you hear the storm that's coming. It's still days away. You hear it now because you will stand at its center.
Your friends will be there with you in the heart of the storm. You hear it now, Robert, because it's waiting for you, for all of you. It wants you and your friends to come. That's why you hear the storm, and that's why the rest of you dream of Robert all wet and beaten. Papa Raphael went quiet.
But why us, Mr. Raphael? We're having dreams and stuff, but not everybody in the world is, so why us?
Asked Ghost. Papa got up and walked to the open door. He stood there for a while, the length and width of his body covering the length and width of the door frame.
Papa?
I called to him. He turned and looked at us.
Because, he said, you are each of the bon le coeur, the good heart. Each of you has got a piece of the bon le coeur. Each of you truly cares about the hurt that other people go through.
We sat there looking at him, listening to him.
You each have your own heart and feelings, but somehow, at the right time, you six together will bring another strong heart, the bon le coeur, and y'all will then be seven who will bring God's remedy. I have seen this power before, but not like this. Not this strong as it is when y'all are together.
Papa could see by the looks on our faces that we didn't really understand. He kept talking.
When y'all are together, when y'all work together, your hearts are joined, and together your hearts gain a voice that calls to God's remedy. It will be God's remedy that will fight the evil sickness that has somehow broken through. That's why the evil is attacking y'all separately, to keep you from joining with each other. That is why Kushma has been sent to you.
Papa was walking as he talked. He was circling the table, touching each of us in turn.
It's like how I got my healing gift, he was saying. I did a kindness, nothing much, and was chosen.
Y'all each have done something that showed the true goodness in your hearts. Now you have been chosen to help in the war.
Papa stopped walking and sat down. You could hear the crickets outside, the sound of a car going by, and every now and then a pecan hitting the tin roof of the house.
Papa seemed to be concentrating on the whole matter. His eyes were closed. Then he was talking again.
There's always evil floating around in the world. So there's always a need for those of the good heart to fight, to be God's remedy. This time it's y'all.
Papa Raphael paused. He started to say something and stopped. He stood up. He walked. He started to talk again and stopped himself again. Then, looking to the ceiling, he said,
but y'all don't have to.
Y'all can decide to forget all this. If y'all decide now not to go into the storm, Kushma will stop coming in your dreams, if you decide now.
We sat quiet after this, each of us looking down at our own hands, thinking, I guess. After a while, our horse stood up and said,
you know, cowards die a lot before they really die. The brave only dies once. Of everything I've ever heard, the strangest is all the people who fear dying, something that's got to happen.
Dolores stood up next to Iron Horse and took his hand in hers. Then each of the rest of us, one by one, stood. We held hands. We all knew we had made a decision. But it was still confusing.
Papa, I said, looking at my grandfather, you said seven, but we are only six in here. Are you counting yourself?
Papa stood back from our circle, where we still stood holding hands. There was pride in his eyes.
No, Robert, I do not count myself.
Listen to me, Shay. After today, do not come to me. I can be of no help to y'all here in this house. I am here now only because something is wrong in time.
All I can tell you is this. You must all go when Robert calls you. You must go to the storm. You must find a way to get there. And then a stranger will come. Someone none of you knows very well. You must stand together as friends and include the stranger. Without the stranger, there is little hope. But the stranger is not the one. Your power will come from being together and not worrying about who is in charge. When you are together working, a hidden power will come. What will save you all is each of y'all hoping with each other. Then Papa Raphael walked around the table and touched each of us again. Ready to leave now, we were all standing on Papa Raphael's porch, quiet. Then from the quiet, "I have to get going," said Dolores. "My dad is going to be at J.S. Clark to get me in about 10 minutes. Papa Raphael touched her face with his big hand and said, "Be at peace, Cher." "Merci, Monsieur Raphael," was her reply. "I'll walk you over," I said to Dolores. "That's okay. Jimmy will walk with me." Einhorst looked at me and nodded his head, agreeing. Suddenly, somehow, Ghost was nowhere to be found. Kool-Aid's cab pulled up. Earl was already walking away, talking to no one I could see. I just stood there as everybody left. I looked in the direction that Dolores had and Einhorst were walking toward J.S. Clark. They were holding hands.